does not last. It's not surpassed.
There used to be a newspaper.
The Butt Podcast. Not outclassed. Once en masse.
Get it unleashed, everyone, up to the end of the game.
The Butt Podcast.
Welcome to the Buff Podcast, sponsored by Cars Pasties. My name's Mark Isles, and I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News. So what has happened this week? Well, Josh Sheehan flew all the way to Belarus for a 90-minute sit-down. We watched the best 0-0 draw ever. Dapo Afalayan gave John Brayford the night terrors. And I found out that giving out your email address on a podcast is not necessarily a great call. This is the show that peels the labels off the big story bottles at Bolton Wanderers and leaves them in the middle of the table for the bar staff to clean up. And with me this week on The Buff, a special guest co-host. Thousands of people have watched him headbutt a pile of ice cubes on YouTube. And I watched him headbutt a ball into the back of the net, Port Vale, and start pitch invasion. It's David Wheater. Wheats, how you doing, my friend?
Hello, mate. I'm very good. That's some intro, that, wasn't it?
That's what you call quality writing, mate.
I enjoyed that.
Good stuff. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. I've interrupted you in the middle of a house move now, haven't I?
One of them, yeah. We're just moving out of rentals, so you've got me out of a few jobs this morning. Like I told you, the missus is not happy with me, but I've chucked her out of the house. She's gone doing some jobs while I'm doing this. So,
well, this is consider this one a formal apology, mate.
I'm laid in bed, Mark, as well, talking to you. So,
you're
very lucky.
That has now put me well off my stride, mate. I don't even like the idea of that.
I've got pants on though. So
that's the main thing. The main thing. I mean, if there's one rule of thumb on the Buff, it's always wear pants.
Yeah, fine. I've got my pants on.
You're not a stranger to the podcast anyway. We've had you on before, haven't we? I remember you getting you on and naming your all-time worst Bolton 11, which went down well.
Did I? When was that?
That was, do you remember coming to the studio when Bolton FM?
Oh, yeah, Bolton FM, yeah. You weren't there though, were you?
Well, I hope so. I've been on all 85 episodes so far, mate.
Right, yeah. I remember being there. I can't remember seeing you.
So memorable, very clear.
I've seen you too often, ain't you?
Well, I'll tell you why I remember it. It's because I remember you going buying a dirty bacon butty beforehand as well.
Oh, from the cafe downstairs.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Filled with grease. The air was just grease.
Right. I mean, just for regular listeners, they're thinking, where is Henry? What have you done to Henry? He's unavailable this week because he's gone on a mountain retreat. Because he's trying to remember all the names of Bolton Wanderers players so he can beat me at Danny Shittu. First of all, let's get straight into the action. There's been one game this week. Wanderers 0, Burton Albion 0. It was one of the best goalless draws I've seen in absolutely ages. The big talking point, of course, was the disallowed goal. Now, I know because of your house move, you've not been able to watch all the game weeks, but you definitely saw the main incident, the disallowed goal, rather, for Kieran Lee. What did you make of it?
Well, if you told me that I was doing this, I would have done my homework and made sure I watched it.
Wait, you haven't done homework, mate, in how many years now? I'm not having that.
I know, yeah, the teachers used to tell me off for that. But, yeah, it was about that game time is a bad time for getting the kids to sleep, isn't it, and all that. But I've seen the highlights, yeah, and some bad decisions, weren't there?
The referee, mate, I swear to God. I mean, the major talking point, Kieran Lee finished off. I mean, Doyle had two chances to score beforehand. Let's be honest, he should have put the ball in the back of the net well before that happened. Yeah. But the disallowed goal, Kieran Lee follows up, puts the ball in the bottom corner. Doyle moves himself out the way. The keeper's nowhere near him. But he moves himself out the way. The referee decides, the linesman decides, that Owen Doyle is interfering with the goalkeeper and it's offside. I mean, nowadays, what's offside?
Well, that's the thing, though. In these days, it is offside, which is, it's crazy, isn't it, really?
It
shouldn't be. The keeper's full stretch. He couldn't dive any further. Mm. He still didn't get to Doyle.
But yeah.
Obviously, from where the linesman is, he won't have been able to see that distance from the goalkeeper to Doyle. But, yeah, like I say, in this day, it's crack, is that is offside. But it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect you to come on and be the voice of reason, Wheater. I've got to be honest.
I'm always I am the voice of reason. I'm not, but I am. but Doyle should, yeah. I mean, he was on his right foot when he probably should have just slotted that in before. But
week.
I think the keeper's made two good saves, to be honest, before. But yeah, good finish, and it should have counted.
Have you seen much of Bolton in the last few months or so.
I watch all the highlights. Obviously, you can't really watch the live games, but I always watch highlights. So I've seen it. They just look like good free-flowing football, doesn't it? I mean, but the pitch looked fantastic the other night, which it's just it always has been at the Christ, what we calling it now, Reebok Macron
Uniball
now. Yeah, I always call it Macron, but it's always been good. Then it's like a carpet, so you have to play good football on there, don't you? So
well, you do, but I mean, let's be brutally honest. Let's be brutally honest. How many good footballing teams have you played in? And you played in sort of like Coyle's team at the start of your Bolton career, good footballing team. Phil Parkinson's team at the end of it, maybe not.
Whose team at the end, did you say there?
Parky's team at the end of it, maybe not.
I know, yeah. But hey, you got us promoted from League One, so that's a challenge for the lads this year, isn't it?
Here we go then. Current team versus Parky's team, who wins?
I'm going to say ours, aren't I? Obviously.
I tell you what, I would love to see you going up for a corner marked by Big Rico Santos.
Well, if he scores 9 this season, then I'll give it to him.
Fair play, mate.
We nearly brought the club record clean sheets, didn't we? I think we missed that. We conceded that last game.
That's right.
I don't know if we would have equaled it or broke the record, but yeah.
Yeah, 23, I think.
There's a few challenges for him, Big Santos.
Look, things move along. He's the new David Weir to the cult figure. But it's always built at the back, mate. All success is always built at the back, and I think they're getting there. I think there's still a bit of a work in progress. The current team, I know a few of the lads from
Burton, Tom Hamer and Johnny Smith. I played with Oldham, and they said he was like just boshing people off the ball, and they said he'll probably be playing Championship soon. Hopefully with Bolton, but said he's a top player, that lad.
I mean, Dapo Afellay is one that everybody's talking about at the moment. He's obviously come in from West Ham on loan last year. I mean, he's been on fire this season. He's scored 3 times, and he's one of those players that just seems to make things happen. And you know, he's just good to watch, just great to watch. And you go appreciate him, aren't you?
Yeah, that's obviously what fans love. Them two players, the fans love just a big centre half who just edges things and tackles players, kicks people, and then obviously a fire line at the other end, taking people on and just gets the fans excited, and that's what they want to see. If you got players like that, the fans will keep coming to the games and they'll make that atmosphere for the lads.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to say that the Bolton, I mean, the 20 shots on goal rather against Burton, they only put 4 on target, and I suppose that's obvious to say, but that's where you've got to improve. You can't expect ratios like that and to get up to where they want to be.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. But there's one for you. Would you rather win ugly or draw playing like that?
This is the million dollar question, isn't it? I watched you win very, very ugly.
No, you didn't.
Very, very ugly. Oh, come on.
We played some good football that year in the League One, especially.
Do you know what? There were some great nights. You remember Gillingham when Phil Moraes was
we played them both games, didn't we?
Well, certainly the 4-0 away, that one springs to mind. When he beat Oxford away was another one that springs to mind.
Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it?
There were some good nights, and I will be, you know, I stick up for Parky quite a lot on this podcast as far as the standard of the football goes. But I also saw some absolute whoa.
They weren't that bad.
Oh, mate, honestly, sometimes, you know, it's all right for the fans. They can go away and have a few beers and forget all about it. I've got to go and write 1,000 words about it, and then interview people and all that sort of stuff. Oh, good.
See, that's
grief.
What you remember all like the bad balls and that. Then that's what you go home and give me a 6 when I should have had a 7 or an 8 in the paper.
I never gave you a 6. I always start with a 4 for you every
day.
You did
a few times. That's why you got them texts.
Yeah. I'm sorry for not answering. I was busy dealing with Vellas because they were usually the first ones.
Funny. I enjoy texting when I see a bad mark, just seeing what you said.
I know I can explain it. I always explain it. I just didn't see it. That's the thing. I'm too busy. I've got my head buried in a laptop.
He must have missed this game.
Yeah,
giving me a 6.
Yeah, that's not how you described it on text. Usually, you usually accused me of being flipping drunk or something. Or, I don't know. But never mind. We digress.
All good fun, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, the referee obviously got given all sorts of stick on Monday night, and I've got to be honest, the push at the end was more blatant than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Big push on Delfonso at the end should have been a penalty. Bolton should have won the game as a result of that. I mean, you've had some stinking refs in your time.
Yeah.
Were you ever a ref moaner? I can't remember you really being too bad after a game.
Not really. I couldn't be arsed with him, to be honest. I think, honestly, as soon as you come out of the Premiership, it's probably like players, but not as bad. You go down the leagues and they just... I mean, I don't want to say too much about them, but the standard just goes down so much of the referees. But just some of them, like, it looks like they want to be the star of the game sometimes. And it's just some of the decisions I'm thinking, What are you thinking? How have you got this job making that decision?
Well, this is the thing. Your referees are only professionals to a certain level. So kind of down, certainly with Bolton in League Two, you're getting none of the professional referees.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, the penalty that Mike Dean gave against me at Bramall Lane, I didn't even touch the guy, but Mike Dean's like, he's like pointing to the spot and not looking at me, giving him his, doing that thing he does. And I just wanted to whack him one. Because he was talking to me and not even looking at me. I was thinking, you knob. But yeah.
As celebrity referees, you've got to love them.
Have you seen that video of him at the Tranmere game when he stood up?
I know.
Higher than everyone else. Just thinking, someone pulling down there a peg or two.
We are not advocating violence towards... referees in any way.
No, just Mike Dean.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's have a bit of readers' correspondence.
Is that Philip Moraes? Emails actually.
Right. I don't know how much you listen to the Buff, but I'm telling you that every week we get good emails in, about Wanderers stuff. So I'm going to ask you your opinion on a couple of these, but and they're all addressed to Mark and Henry because I think that's who they expected. But there we go.
Henry Wheater, that's my new name today.
You're lucky not being demoted to cameraman Dave. That's who you used to have. Whenever we used to have a work experience kid in, it'd be cameraman Dave.
Oh, I'm a terrible cameraman. I'm Mrs. Fumes when I take pictures because I miss the feet out or half the head or something.
I've just watched the YouTube, you know, the Ice Cube one. Why is it taken like the wrong way around? How are you doing it?
It's the I don't know. God knows what it was. Flipping it. I was 16 then. So what's that?
It's many years ago.
Nearly coming up 20, isn't it? In a couple of years. So I don't know what it's taken on. But that was the tutor filming that.
Really?
Yeah. Got him involved. Yeah, that's him. Say you at the beginning. He's like, "Go on, when you're ready." That's him.
What, hitting the target, was it some sort of science experiment or something?
Nah, it was just, it was when Jackass was out, wasn't it? I don't even know how it came up. Like, I must have been sat there and said, "Hey, I'll go get some ice cubes and headbutt him." I don't know how it came up.
As you do, yeah. Fair enough.
Looked funny, didn't it?
It did, especially from that angle.
It's when the ice cubes hit the glass, like when it shoots off and makes funny noises, that makes it.
I think a career in Jackass might well suit you, mate. That could be the way to go. You could be the new Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, easy.
Right, okay. I'll get on to James's email now. We've been through ice cubes. He says, Mark and Henry, writing this email to you after watching us slaughter Burton Albion 0-0 and asking what we have to do to score a goal. He says, we played so well, but why did Ian Everett bring off the only natural finisher in the whole team to put Kachunga on well before the final whistle? It's balmy. I'm a big Everett fan, but that was a big mistake for me. I'm assuming he means Owen Doyle, because he hasn't mentioned it, but Owen Doyle came off about 20 minutes before the end for Kachunga. Now, yeah, it's a fair point. He makes there, you know, obviously, Doyle had run himself, I think, into a standstill. Sometimes you'll know this, Weeks, because I'm sure you've been on the wrong end of them, where they've got the running stats and they know how fast your recovery runs are and all that sort of stuff. They can see when you're getting tired nowadays. There's nowhere to hide, is there?
No, there isn't. Happened to me once. You probably remember Norwich away when they brought me off, and I got to the bench and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Your hands are on your knees. You look knackered." I said, "The sun was coming over the stand, so I was nearly. I was just putting my head down so I could see." It was like, "Oh, all right." But I don't know. Obviously, he's the manager, and he gets his gets to make the decisions. He might have thought that Doyle looked tired, so they maybe might have conceded from I don't know, him losing the ball or something. So he could say he's got a point from the game for making that decision or something. So
Exactly. I think these sort of decisions, they look absolutely wonderful when they pay off, and managers will take all the praise, but they get they get beaten about the head if they don't. But I mean, it does show, and you know, we've said it so many times on this pod that there isn't an obvious replacement, and people are not seeing Kachunga as that obvious replacement with Doyle. I mean, goal scorers are so hard to find, aren't they? I mean, you played with a few, but you've got to be very lucky to be shopping in Bolton's kind of in their sphere with their finances to find somebody.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, he does though. Then that's what he does. I mean, I played against him. He didn't do anything for the game. He scored in the 89th minute. So maybe if you kept him on, he would have got that goal. But yeah, like I say, it's manager's decision, and I don't know. He'll be a little bit fresher for the next game, and hopefully he gets a goal then.
Yeah, down at Ipswich, we'll have a chat about that in a bit. But
horrible journey, that one.
I hate that. It may as well be in Holland, I've got to be honest.
That Gillingham away game we had, it was a Tuesday night, wasn't it?
It was.
Disaster. We got home about 6 o'clock in the morning. Roadworks.
That is the worst away trip I've had. They put me in a hotel. Gillingham's like a big hill. So on one side is Priestfield, where you play the football, and the other side was my hotel. So you have to walk back over this hill. And it was horrible. It was a horrible place. And there's bed mattresses everywhere. There's skips in the middle of the road. It was the worst estate I've ever walked through. It's just such an eerie. And I'm sat there with carrying a laptop and, you know, dressed in a shirt and tie and such. Oh, dear.
You didn't have a tie on, no chance.
I probably did. I get changed into my scruffs for the game, but that's my normal attire. I'm wearing a shirt and tie now.
So am I, with my pants.
Right, second one. Now, here we go. I don't know whether you believe in the supernatural, Wits, but this is a beauty, this one.
Go on.
Right, so dear Mark and Henry, I was reading an old article on the Bolton News website and noticed a couple of messages had been left below the main story, which I thought would be right down your street for the line of Doofty, which is our kind of... mystery machine. We investigate cases of the paranormal or such.
The line of what? Doof?
Line of Doofty.
Line of Doofty. Mikey.
That is a pun and a half, that, mate.
You need to get my name in summer. I'm not in anything.
We've got a segment coming up, don't worry.
Oh, nice. Wait, tweets?
Wait's tweets.
That'll do me.
Right, he says, I don't believe in this sort of stuff, but two accounts from completely different people a decade apart. Right, so I'm going to read you two little stories.
Yeah.
So get your blankets all wrapped round. You're having a story in bed. Here we go.
All right, go on.
The strangest ghost sighting I've ever seen was when I was doing night security on Manchester Road. It was 3:30 a.m. on the 9th of March 2017, and there was a report of a gang of youths behind Burnden Retail Park on that dirty track leading up to the former railway bridge. So we went to investigate, thinking it was just teenagers messing around or getting high or something. Thinking nothing of it, we drove up there, stopped the van, put the headlights on in full beam, and that's when me and a colleague just sat there and froze in fear. We saw about 30-odd people dressed in black Victorian clothing. Their faces were as white as anything, just stood there for about a minute, and then they just disappeared one by one, and then we realised what we'd just witnessed. So that's one guy, that's 2017. Yeah. This is a second one. Hi Lee, this is the report replying to the first guy. I'm a former employee for a demolition company. Your story is very similar to what happened back when Burnden Park Football Ground was being demolished in the early hours, sorry, in the early 90s. It was about 97, 98 actually, but never mind. It was in the early hours of the morning. One of the security guards back then phoned me up saying there's a large group of people who have congregated near the old Normid building. Back then, I was living close by in Great Lever, so I told him to stay out of sight in case it was any organised criminal gang trying to steal the equipment on site. When I got there, everything was locked up, so I unlocked the gate, entered the site, and to my surprise, there wasn't anybody there. Everything was secure, but the security guard was convinced he saw a large group of people dressed in black clothing near the away embankment. But back then, I didn't believe him. I thought he was being paranoid. Was Burnden Park haunted? I ask you.
You're asking me?
I'm asking you, Wheat, have you ever seen a ghost?
I haven't.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I don't think so. If I see one, and I will, but I haven't seen one.
So you're one of these guys, unless you've absolutely seen it, there's absolutely no chance for it.
I went on one of these ghost walks, Most Haunted Walk things. In this big scary building around here, didn't see anything, didn't feel anything. And there was a woman there, so she was like, oh, I can sense it, I can feel it. Oh, I can sense them running about. I was just looking at her, like, stop chatting shit here. I'm trying to listen to the guy talking about the building. You're waffling.
Was it a Vet Fielding? Or like Derek Agora?
Well, it was one of them. It was one of them who was on Most Haunted, but yeah, we didn't see anything. Yeah, I didn't feel anything. It was just dark and stinky. That's all. That's all I felt. But
well,
to see one.
Let the spirits be known that David Waiter is soon moving house.
Ghostbusters is one of my favourite movies, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. Although the second one was garbage.
No, I really liked two.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was lazy. He was lazy.
What it is, though, isn't it? Big Vigo.
Yeah. Vigo the Carpathian.
Yeah.
I could sit here and talk about Ghostbusters 2 all day.
So can I.
And we've got we're even dropping a bit of wrestling in there for you later on, Weed. So don't worry. We're right in your wheelhouse, mate. Don't worry about that. Before we do all that, though, I'd like to talk a little bit about the headlines. So every week, there's no Henry this week to do it for me, we pick out the best headlines of the week from the Bolton News. One of the bigger stories this week, we were talking about free transfers and whether Bolton might look into the free transfer market. Not you, Waiter. We'll get to your free transfer status in a bit, but the two lads that's names did crop up were Daniel Sturridge and Jack Wilshire.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play with the both of them or either of them?
No, I played with Sturridge. Me and Sturridge came at the same time.
That's right.
Wilshire was the season before, I think, so I didn't play with him.
That's right. I mean, they're both now kind of 30 and-ish.
They're younger than, they're both younger than me. Sturridge would be 32, I think, 33.
Still top quality? Would you have him in your team?
Well, yeah, you would. I mean, at the right price. He's obviously had a lot of injuries and stuff, but... I mean, he doesn't need a massive wage, does he? To be honest,
well,
if he wants to come play football.
Here's the question that people ask me all the time, right? So Daniel Sturridge has not got a club. He's not playing any football, i.e. he's not earning any money from football. Neither is Jack Wilshire. So to the casual layman, why don't they turn round to a Bolton Wanderers and say, hey, I'll play for whatever you'll give us. Pay as you play, kind of thing. From a footballer's point of view, is it that simple? Or do you think you're like, listen, I've got this worth and I'm happy to hold out for this worth?
Well, yeah, maybe. Obviously, they'll have a decent bit. Hopefully, they've got a decent amount of money in the bank, won't they? So they probably don't need to play football anymore. They might have other stuff that they're doing. And probably they may think they can still do it in the Premier League. So if they come to League One, they might think they won't get back there in the Premiership or Championship or whatever, so they might want to start back in one of these, maybe like a promoted club, Norwich or something like that. I mean, we'd take Sturridge, he'd probably be the best player.
I understand it. Kind of, obviously, I've dealt with lads for years, and it is a bit like a brand. You know, you kind of, once you do take that step back, then it is hard to get it back, and it is quite a brave move if you do that. But I mean, I think Sturridge is training with, is it Mallorca? Is that Stu Holden's lot at Mallorca?
Yeah, he's got something to do with it, hasn't he? I'm not, obviously, Instagrams it all the time, but I'm not sure. I think it's his mate Steve Nash, the basketballer's company, or he's with company or something, or I don't know. But I think he owns a little bit of it, yeah?
Oh, talk about famous friends, eh? Unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
Keep asking for it to get a Steve Nash signed jersey for me, but he hasn't pulled through yet.
He hasn't answered the call yet.
Oh, no, he hasn't. No. I'll whack him when I see him as well.
Don't. That's how the trouble starts, Weeks, I'm telling you. I don't think, to be honest, just to put the story into context, we were talking about free transfers and what would convince Bolton to look at free transfers, because there's plenty of good players out there at the moment. And Everett made the point quite rightly that it takes a long time to get a free transfer who's not played for months back into the sort of physical condition where they can play regularly. And so it probably would be December time now by the time anybody was fully fit. So is it really worth the gamble that they won't break down?
They might break down, mightn't they? But I think players of that quality, just get them in, stick them straight in, flipping heck.
I don't think it'll happen. I mean, I'd love to think it would. I'd love to see either Sturridge, Wilshere, you know, both of them back here. Of course I would, but I don't think so, I'm afraid.
Not in League, not obviously, not that's League Bolton One. At the moment in League One. I don't think they'd come down to League One, to be honest, them two players. Maybe if they're in Championship, they might. But yeah, I don't think you'll see Sturridge and Wilshere in League One at the moment.
The one thing you can watch in League One at the moment is Dapo Afolayan, and we mentioned him earlier. I had a chat with him just before the Burton game, and you could tell he was brimming with confidence. He's talking, you know, he's talking about being Bolton's Jack Grealish. He's getting kicked left, right, and centre. I don't know the you saw some of the stuff. I mean, certainly John Brayford, the Burton fullback. Good grief, he'll be having nightmares about Dapo for years to come. But at the minute, he's one of those players. He draws fouls. And I remember Duff at Bolton was exactly the same way.
Yeah.
People hated him. And, you know, sometimes they had reason to do it as well, because he was a bit of a strange character, to say the least. But he was one of those that in tight conditions, and like Sammy Amiobi was another one, I think.
Yeah.
He just had that sort of way of shifting the ball quickly. And they're hard to come up against, them sort of players, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Sammy was annoying. Obviously, I hadn't played against him in training a couple of games years ago, but he... You think you get the ball and these big spider legs would come out and just either get a foul or he'd just run off.
Yeah.
But he was so strong, like he was muscly. I don't know how to explain it. He looked, you know, you see Usain Bolt, he looks like quite skinny, doesn't he? But then he takes his top off and he's an absolute tank. He was like that, Amiobi, but yeah, he was some player, wasn't he? But that's the thing with Afolayan, keep playing well, your confidence goes sky high, and then you start talking about comparisons with Jack Wilshere and stuff like that. But fair play if he keeps playing well.
No, well, look,
say what he wants.
I'm more than happy for him to drop the big names into interviews that I do, because it just adds a bit of stardust to it, doesn't it? And I might add that I once did a post match with you where you said you were faster than Usain Bolt over about 6 meters.
I didn't say that. I said I was like him. I said, you don't look the fastest, but you are. I mean, I'm not the fastest, but I'm not as slow as people think. You've never seen me. Hey, I tell you what, can you remember that? What is the Bolton podcast, the other one?
There's a couple, but I'll go for Lion of Vienna as the one that you're talking one. About. Yeah,
they're talking about my pace, and all. The only person to mention was I got outran by Adama Traore, and I was thinking, flipping heck. If that's all you've got, then I'll take that.
Yeah, Traore can definitely shift. I'll give him that.
Exactly.
I'll give him that. But
you can't remember any other times that I've been outpaced everyone in that game as well. So
here we go. I'll give you one. David Weeter playing right back against Everton. Billy Atdinov. You kicked him about 6 miles up in the air.
Yeah, but I didn't get outpaced. I just got sent off. That was a bad refereeing decision. That he said to me, oh, I'm sorry, I know you've gone for the ball, but I'm going to have to send you off. I said, why? He said, because you've gone through him. I said, well, yeah, he was there, so...
You're picking bits of him off the end of your boot at the time.
I blame that night there as well, because he told me to turn, and the geezer was right behind me, so...
Listen, it's very easy to blame that night.
Yeah.
And we do a lot on this podcast, I've got to be honest.
Great guy, though, isn't he?
Lovely guy. for a guy, you know, of such imposing stature, he was quite a gentle giant, in fairness.
Yeah, he was nice. Top lad.
Right, okay, The reserve team is back. That's another headline for this week. The reserve team is back at Bolton. They did away with the 23s and David Lee's team a couple of years ago. And I've got my own opinions about that decision. I think it was a very, very poor one. However, they've now brought it back full circle. The reserve team's back. They're playing in the Central League. We had a few first teamers involved on a Parks pitch in Wigan, which honestly... It was dreadful, baking hot sun, and it was like people doing dog walks and all sorts around the outside.
Oh yeah,
but
I had that last year at Oldham.
Well, yeah, exactly, exactly. You'll have sampled your fair share of parks pitches in reserve football in your career.
Yeah.
How difficult is it for first teamers to drop down and be professional at that sort of, you know, and be motivated when you're down in the reserves?
Yeah, you don't, obviously it's a first team. You don't want to be in the reserves at all unless you're coming back from injury. Then you don't mind, but
yeah,
you think sometimes. I think I only played one reserve game when I wasn't. Like it come back from injury, but then Tunchai was playing, and there's a few others playing. So I thought, it's just getting footy, isn't it? But yeah, you just don't want to be there because you know you're not playing, you know you're not injured, you're just not getting picked. Yeah. So, but yeah. it was miles. But as a young player, getting in the reserves was like an unbelievable feeling. It was sort of like you made the first team because there was first team players in there, and you were playing with them, and it was just miles better than like the 23s. Just sounds better, I think, as well.
Well, yeah, I think that's what they've got to get back at Bolton because, I mean, there was five or so players, I think, in that team yesterday that had played against Accrington Stanley. They won 2-1. There was lots of experience in there. And I think for the younger lads that did step up from the 18s, they'll learn a lot from that. That is a valid experience. Take aside the fact that it was a crappy pitch and all that sort of thing. That's fine. But just from preparing pre-match, being around those players, listening to those players, because you'll know that the standard of communication when you step up from the youth teams and the 18s to that next level, all of a sudden it's like stereo. You've got people telling you instructions left, right and centre, haven't you?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, obviously I was at Middlesbrough and I was a youth team playing. I got reserves and like, I'd be playing next to Colin Cooper. And he'd be shouting at me for like 90 minutes. And at first, you're thinking, friggin' hell, shut up, Coops. And you realise that's what you have to do in football. So And I don't think you'd get that from 23 because it's still just all your mates. It's like playing in the Youth Cup. You need to play with senior professionals, first teamers, and to learn this stuff, I think.
You definitely need a blend. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
And the last headline for this week. We kind of hinted at it in last week's pod, and I don't want to drag David Wheater into football finances because let's face it, Wheats, we've done enough of that. We don't need to talk about football finances with David Wheater. That's a whole nother podcast. But
that's a few podcasts.
That's about a 10-parter.
Yeah.
This week, Wanderers have agreed terms with the unsecured creditors, so, i.e. they've basically ticked the EFL boxes. They are now past the embargoes. We have no more embargoes. Basically, it's a blank slate. Now, just to explain a little bit about the situation, we don't know yet how they have settled those agreements and to what point they've settled the agreements. You can pay 35p a pound, upwards of 35p a pound. All that's going to come out in a report, I would imagine, in the foreseeable future or in the next account. So at the minute, all we can say for definite is that the EFL are satisfied. They've given Bolton the thumbs up to move on. And I think that can only be a good thing. What would it have been like, David Wheater, to have played in a Bolton team that didn't have those financial problems?
No, it was class. I mean, I've always said, like, at the start, when I was at Middlesbrough, obviously just come to Bolton, I never checked my payslip because I just thought any other job, your money will go in and it's there.
Mm.
It was just that one time when one of the lads said, "Have you been paid?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course I have. It's paid there." And rang me missus, she's like, "No, you haven't." So from there, it was like 3 or 4 years of worrying and stuff on payday. But
yeah
I mean, it's fantastic. When there's no problems at football club, it's the best job on earth, honestly. Even like when we were going through all that stuff not getting paid, as soon as you get on the training ground you forget about stuff. It's football's fantastic. And then you just, but then you get in the changing room and start talking about stuff again. So, but yeah, I mean, I was messaging me and Sasevich were messaging each other the other day. Just, I was talking about how good of a club it is and how good it sounds now, and he was like, yeah, the owners and all that's fantastic. I was like, oh, I wish I was. We had that, but yeah.
Could you imagine? I mean, Sharon Britton, who's the chairman and the kind of co-owner as such as part of Football Ventures. She's lovely, absolutely lovely.
I
remember Phil Parkinson saying before the takeover, and it was still in the balance at that point. He said Sharon is exactly what this club needs. He said she'll just put her arm around the whole club. give it a cuddle. That's what it needs. Yeah. And that's exactly what it's been.
Well, I bumped into, is it Emma Bogard?
Emma Bogard, yeah, she used to be the CEO, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I bumped into her at the Framers, I think, with Andrew Dean. I think they do all the club's framing, so she must have just been going around like the people that help the club out and just meeting everyone. I bumped into her there, and she seemed lovely as well.
Yeah, I mean Emma's moved on because she had her own some issues to sort out. They are decent people. I mean that's the thing. You can forgive certain aspects because basically I think it's not a great big secret. They're not, you know, these people are not absolutely wadded. They're not going to be throwing in, you know, tens of millions of pounds of, you know, their own cash into this situation. Yeah. They will manage it as they see fit, and they're trying to work towards being like, you know, sustainable club. So yeah. I think Bolton fans and myself have got to get our heads around that it's not going to be like it was. You know, when you started off and we was paying millions and, you know, some of the wages back then, mate, good grief.
Flipping that, yeah. I felt like a pauper on my wage when I heard what some of the lads were on.
Definitely towards the end. I swear to God, that last transfer window in the Premier League era, that was as bad. That was the worst transfer window I've ever been involved in. Some really poor signings.
Eagles and Tyrone and that.
No comment. No comment. I'm telling you, that recruitment that summer was terrible.
Who came in? Rio Coker?
Yep.
Kakuta came in, didn't he?
Kakuta was another one, yeah. Later on, we had people like Sordell. You had Miachi. Boyata.
Ungog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The list of Wanderers legends continues. But again, that's a whole different podcast. Yeah. Whole different podcast.
These owners had to pay all our missing wages as well.
Yeah,
from someone else's mistakes.
Exactly, and so, we don't talk about him on this podcast.
Why not?
For legal reasons.
Oh. I don't know about all them as well.
Yeah, for legal reasons, because quite frankly, I can't be bothered having to edit this podcast and send it to a solicitor before it goes out. Mm. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I know.
right, okay, I think we should try a little bit of All Right or Barry Knight.
Is it all right? Yes, all right. Joshua Smith.
Yeah, in honour of Joshua Smith, the referee from the Burton game, his ridiculous referee performance, I decided to rename this section Josh Smith or Taking the Pith. Same rules, because I couldn't be bothered thinking any different ones up. We pick one good thing, we pick one bad thing, and we'll have a little discussion about it. I've done the legwork as normal, Weets. I've done the legwork, so don't worry about it, mate. I'll pick the bad and the good.
You haven't done legwork in your life?
I've done some legwork. In my earlier days.
Yes, I am.
Right, okay. What I'm going to pick me Barry Knight, or I don't know whether it's taken the... I don't know, whatever the new version is. Opposition fans flooding social media on Monday night. That's absolutely ridiculous. Bolton versus Burton, the only game in town on Monday night, and yet, like, 90% of my timeline on Twitter is full of other clubs' fans wading in. You know what I mean? What a battleground. How you put up with it, I'd never know. Because I look at some of your replies and you're laughing along with it. Yeah. I'm like, nah, not for me, mate. How the hell do you put up with that?
I just think in my head, I know the truth about what I say, and I'll, most of the time I'm just messing on.
Yeah.
It's just when people take things too seriously.
Mm.
Like, messing on with this Mark Goldbridge thing. It's just messing, but then... Like, people come on saying, who are you?
Yeah.
All this. I'm thinking, you're replying to me.
Exactly.
Would you say that to it? Is that how you greet strangers? Who are you? And I just, yeah, it's just people, when people take social media too seriously, it does me head in. But no, I'm never serious. Well, 95% of the time, I'm not serious on social media. So I just, yeah. Well, people give me a bit and... on an like instant message or private message, I'll give him a bit back and they shit themselves. There's one guy, he was saying all sorts to me, and I just messaged him. I said, what's your problem, pal? And then he replied next day, oh, sorry, I can't. There's no recollection of me saying these things.
Yeah, right.
You should have a breathalyzer on Twitter. I've said that for a long time. You shouldn't be able to tweet when drunk.
Well, you know, there's some strange people on social media.
There are some very strange people. Yeah. I'm not going down that avenue at all.
But when you reply to them stuff and the reply back, you realise, you think, what are you typing here?
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
Well, I mean, this is the problem because of the way Twitter and all this social media is stacked up, is what you say does go out there. But I'm addressing Bolton fans when I'm writing a tweet, when I'm you know, putting a link out to a story or whatever. All I'm bothered about is the people that are likely to click on it, which 99% of that is Bolton fans or even people like yourself, you know, people who are Bolton fans, but they're ex-Bolton players who might have some interest in it.
Yeah.
I don't really care what, you know, somebody, you know, a Burton Albion fan might think about my follow-ups to that story or what a Wigan fan or a Blackburn fan or whatever it might be. It really isn't my issue. And I certainly don't appreciate being kind of... I mean, it's nothing other than abused, really, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, that's a bit, yeah. What do people the difference? I couldn't give two shits about what people say about me. People I don't know. It's like when you give me a six, I know you, so I'll give you a text back and give you a bit. But, honestly, if I don't know the person, I'm not arse. I'll either give them a bit back as a mess on or just ignore them. So, but yeah, people are different. People, you know, people take things to heart on social media and stuff. You get all the time, and that's their choice. But for me, I honestly don't care what people say about me. I'm got a nice family and all that, good friends, so I'm not bothered what some stranger says to me.
No, well, I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of jealous because I think I do take it a bit to heart at times. So I shall probably...
Nah, I don't. What's the... Why?
Well, it's one of them, mate.
You're never going to meet him. You're not going to go for a drink with him. You'll go for a drink with me, so...
That's very true.
So if I say something bad to you, or someone you know, then take it to heart.
Yeah, when wheat starts trolling me, then I need to start worrying.
Well, that's the thing. I'll give you a bit, and you give me a bit back, so it's fine.
I heard something one of the Olympians said the other day that said, "Don't ever worry about opinions from somebody whose advice you wouldn't take." So I suppose that's that in a nutshell, isn't it, really?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing.
Let's move on from all that.
Well,
nonsense.
That's the thing. I wouldn't ask you for advice how to play football, but I still got angry when you give me a six, isn't it? So
I think you should do.
I know, yeah. I might have to now.
Right, okay. The good side of things. The all right to the Barry Knight. I'm going to nominate Ian Evatt learning post match that carrying on about the referee would not have been a good shout the other night. It was really, really interesting because when all the controversy exploded with the referee and then the push at the end, he took a long time to come up. Usually, Evatt's like straight up into the press room, bang, does his stuff. And often, I think sometimes the emotions are still stirring. He obviously went downstairs, counted to 100, came upstairs. We're all like half asleep on the tables and he said his piece. And actually, I thought it was so much better as a result. You know what it's like when you come off a pitch and you're told you're doing press and something daft has happened. How hard is it to bite your lip? I mean, you were a bit better than most, but it's not easy, is it?
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I could talk rubbish, couldn't I? if I needed to. But that's the thing. If you're talking about the refs, it's part of the game, so I think you should be allowed to talk about it in the game, but then managers get fines and stuff for talking about the refs, don't they? Which I think is wrong. They can talk about players and stuff, so why can't they talk about the referees if they're part of the game that they've just played in?
Well, why can't the referees talk about their own performance as well? Why can't they come and explain? I mean, it could have diffused a lot of things the other night if the referee could have come upstairs and said, listen, this is the way I saw it and this is the way our linesman saw it. This is why we gave... And this, you know, ever talked about maybe... VAR being used further down the line, and you can say what you want about VAR, at least it gives you a kind of a backup for a referee so that they can go and have a look at a monitor and look at a decision and make their own mind up again, give themselves a little bit more breathing space. That, on Monday night, the guy gives the goal, rushes over to his linesman, and based purely on what his linesman is, and you said, you know, the linesman's view of that incident was not great. You know, the angles are not good for him. So
no, he'll look like he was next to him, Doyle and the keeper, but they weren't.
Yeah, exactly. So it bamboozles me that they don't allow people to explain themselves a little bit better, at the very least, for referees. It's weird for me, but
yeah, well, some refs have done that before, and I think people respect them for doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
the decision is wrong, and they say sorry, they say they got it wrong.
Yeah.
It helps them as well.
Yeah. Well, I used to do a column with Mark Halsey.
Yeah.
And you know, every week, you know, he'd talk about, you know, big decisions. I mean, this is after he was refereeing, but he'd talk about, you know, Clattenburg or some of the bigger names. And he said, well, this is why he's done it. And I spoke to him afterwards, and this is what he saw. And it was really interesting because, you know, sometimes refs will just hold their hands up like, listen, I, this is the way I saw it. It wasn't when I watched Match of the Day that night, I thought, oh, God, what have I done? But that sort of bit of humanity makes it all the better, doesn't it?
Well, that's the thing. I think it was him, Clattenburg, who sent me off at Arsenal when I pulled Theo back. And he just said, look, sorry, it was last man, I have to do this. I thought, yeah, you're right.
Happy days.
Like I say, when Mark... to Mark Isles then.
Mike Dean,
when he gave that penalty, he just pointed at the spot, didn't look at me, and that's just, yeah, I was just thinking, you knob.
Robot refs, no need.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's move on to a bit of week's tweets. I picked up a handful of David Weir's tweets. It was quite a quick decision to bring Weitz on board as co-host, so we've not been able to sort out a bit of music there for the intro. But well, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, put some rest of them on.
I will do. That's a good idea, actually. I've picked out three of my favourites of your recent tweets in the new incarnation of your Twitter account. Let's not go there, but the new Weeter account. I'm going to take you back to August the 21st.
Yeah, what we're on now, right? Yeah, go on.
August 21st. So it was a picture of you. David Weeter is AEW or is All Elite or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you tweet fake news. I'm WWE for life. This is like going to Wigan or Sunderland. Right. So. Tell me about it, because I've been reading this morning that Kevin Owens is going to AEW as well. I mean,
crikey.
What's the deal? What's the deal?
Well, I haven't heard that one, but hey, they're getting some. CM Punk's gone there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, they're all going there.
Are you worried? Because I mean, I'm old enough to remember the last time this happened with WCW.
Yeah, no, well, that's it. It was better, wasn't it? A bit. Vince needs a bit of competition, doesn't he?
He does, but the thing is, back then, they were taking old wrestlers, and it was like, it didn't really matter. Yeah. Now they're taking some decent talent.
Yeah. What do you think, though? CM Punk's the same age now as Hulk Hogan was when he went there.
Looks a bit better, doesn't he?
To WCW. Yeah, better wrestler. But WWE's been a bit boring for the last few years, so I think competition is good for everyone.
Yeah. So, do you know what? They need new writers, Weeter. There's your next calling in life, mate.
You're not wrong.
Wouldn't that be a job, eh?
Oh, I'd love that. It looks hard work, though. It's every day, isn't it? And travelling about America. I mean, it'd be nice, but it'd be hard work, I think.
It probably would be hard work, but I reckon I could handle that. That'd be okay.
Yeah,
that'd be all right. Do you still collect the old wrestling figures as well, by the way?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah. One of my good mates, Phil, he's one of the managers at Smith's Toy Stores in Middlebrook, so he texts me when the new ones come in if I want them saving.
I swear to God, I mean, my youngest is a massive collector. He's got a room dedicated to him.
Oh, yeah.
In my house. It's,
I keep buying them now. Do you know them pop vinyl ones?
Yes.
I buy them and I keep them in the box because it's weird. I like looking at them.
Yeah.
No, I've got Ghostbusters ones, all the Friends cast, all of them. Miskit says, you're not putting them in the new house. I said, I am.
You have to get yourself a man cave, mate, or a boy cave. I don't mind it. I don't mind which, really.
They're going somewhere. So
before anybody takes the mic, by the way, there is it is like a full time profession knowing about these things.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, it's detailed.
Of course, for me, I've just bought. Well, not just recently. I've got the Rock and Stone Cold in a ring, but the pop vinyls ones.
Right.
And a light up, a glow in the dark Undertaker.
Unbelievable.
But then I've got Kevin De Bruyne one and Sergio Aguero that. Clivy, the old kit man at Bolton, who was at Man City, got him signed for me. So
Friends in high places.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Good stuff. Right, okay, another week's tweet. Right, August 31st. Why are clubs still fannying about on deadline day when they've had months to sign players?
Oh, I don't. It annoys me, deadline day.
Hot take for Wheater. I mean, as a footballer, surely deadline day is last chance saloon, isn't it?
Yeah, but why they've had 2 or 3 months to sort stuff out? Why? I feel like they just do it to get on telly.
Right.
To get like a headline on the... Get Jim White to say, "Oh, I'm here at Bolton's training ground or wherever they are." Just thinking, do your stuff in the first week and then you relax.
Well, that's what Bolton did, and yet,
yeah, exactly.
They actually got hammered. Really, I mean, I wouldn't say hammered. I think probably people calmed down quite quickly. But when they didn't do any business on deadline day, it was like the end of the world for people. I think.
Yeah. No, I just don't understand. You normal stuff in life. You don't wait till the very, very last moment, do you?
Some stuff you do wait.
Some stuff you do, but my 5-year-old laddie will wait to the very last moment to go to the toilet and then he has to sprint there. I say, what are you doing? Just go earlier.
Comedy's all in the timing, mate.
I know.
Right, third and last tweet. This one might be controversial. September the 6th. Me and Goldbridge will bump into each other one of these days. Yeah. So this, for the uninitiated, and there's plenty on this podcast, I would imagine, this lad is a Manchester United YouTuber and blogger and vlogger and all that sort of stuff, isn't he? He's a bit of a jack of all trades, a little bit of a shock jock type guy. I think my kids might watch a bit of him, but, you know, such is life. What's your beef? What's your beef with him?
It's not beef, really, for me. It's just a mess on. But he was saying stuff on it on the video.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't play online. I haven't got a PlayStation. I don't play FIFA. So I messaged him on Insta a while back after he said all this stuff on there. I said, what are you talking about? He said, what did he say? Here, let me see if I've still got it here. He said something like, I was just talking rubbish. Anyway, I'm at Goldbridge. I put, 14th of June 2020, I put, can I ask what on earth you're going on about in that FIFA video? He put, probably a load of crap as usual when I'm playing FIFA. And that was it.
Well, but there you go.
Then bloody Thogden brought it back the other day, didn't he, the video of it.
The thing is, right, I think... It does happen quite a bit. As we mentioned there with the Twitter and the what people say, I think it is just brain farting 90% of the time. I don't think people have... There's no real kind of malice in it, but they just say things without realising what the consequences are.
Well, that's the thing. He was obviously saying my name. Or someone using my name was having a go at him. I'm thinking, who's using my name here? Because it isn't me.
Well, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't me, but... I said to him, we'll have a charity boxing match.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Sort it out.
We need to bring them back.
Yeah, class, aren't they?
Absolutely loving them.
Used to see him on The Only Way is Essex and all that. I love to have a little boxing match.
Set Nicky Adams on him.
Yeah, he's a good fighter, Nick.
I'll tell you what, he can punch without
a doubt.
Yeah,
he can, for a little bulldog.
Yeah, they raise him tough in Brakemouth, believe me.
Yeah, tougher in Middlesbrough, though.
Tougher in Middlesbrough. God, the only thing tough in Middlesbrough is the chicken parmo.
How nice are they?
I've started making them, actually. I've got to be honest. I'm going to have to see if you've got a better recipe than mine, but I'm telling you, I reckon I've nailed it. I'll have to treat you sometime.
Next time, who do Bolton play around here?
Sunderland's as near as you get, yeah.
Sunderland, yeah. Right, let me know and I'll take you to the spot.
Right, okie dokie. That's a date set. Right, what's up next? Ipswich Town, we said earlier about how it's nearer to Holland than it is to civilization. Bolton haven't won there for 20 years, by the way. I'll say that for starters. 2001, the last time. You may or may not know, about Barry Knight, the referee. Very famous game involving Bolton at the end of the last millennia playoff semi-final. The worst refereeing decision, the worst refereeing performance of all time.
And Trevor Kettle's had a few.
Trevor Kettle, Neil Hare is my latest guy to add to that collection. Clattenburg definitely had a few mares. Mike Dean's had some mares. But this guy, if there was a club, he would be like, the honorary president of said club. Absolute, well, Look, he's so good, we've had a recurring segment since episode one on this called All Right or Barry Knight.
Yep.
That's how much he is indelible in the soul of Bolton Wanderers.
I thought Barry Knight was that geezer who tried to take over Man United, can you remember?
That's Michael Knighton.
Michael Knighton, yeah. Hey, good knowledge that, Mark, I like that.
Look, I'm not just a pretty face. In fact, I'm not even a pretty face.
That is good knowledge, that. Yeah, I thought that was him.
No. Barry Knight, Orpington official. I'll do a story on him before the end of the week.
Let me Google him. I've got my phone. What's he called? Barry Knight.
Barry Knight, as in Zat.
I'll have to come up Barry Knight English cricketer. I'll have to put Barry Knight referee.
Don't know about that.
Barry Knight referee. Oh, yeah.
He looks exactly as he is. He looks like a guy that would...
He's got your haircut.
He has, yeah. I do model myself on Barry Knight.
Crikey, he's got Premier League ref as well. Flipping heck.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, he is definitely hanging. His shadow is hanging over this game. I'll say that for definite. But I mean, you didn't have any results on there. I think you scored at Portman Road for Borough.
Yeah, scored there once. Yeah.
But
I don't know if we won that game or not.
Nope.
We not.
You won one game. You won your first game there, and then you scored in the next one, mm-hmm. and then there's. A raft of games where you were either available or unavailable as a Bolton player,
yeah.
where Bolton got nothing. Looks like about 15 different games where they got absolutely nothing whatsoever.
It's just one of them horrible grounds. Like, we were terrible at this Forest and Derby away. I don't think we ever see, we get anything there. It's just a horrible ground. Nice grounds, I mean, but horrible for us. We just didn't.
Does that play in your mind then? So when you're going on a team bus and you know you're going to Portman Road, does it play at all in the back of your mind that, oh, God, you know, we never get anything here, and there's no reason that anything should be linked? It's like the lottery numbers. The game shouldn't be linked.
No, I think, obviously, that's, you know you've never got, well, not never, but not got a result there for a while.
Mm.
But I don't think that should play in your mind, really. I think to just go into every game thinking that you can win. I mean, that's just me, but yeah, horrible grounds. But afterwards, we were like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah, you struggle. I mean, honestly, I when I get to Portman Road, I always say it is. I've never seen Bolton win there. It is a nightmare trip. But actually, when you get there, the people there are great. And the ground itself is so steeped in history. All along the walls is pictures of like Bobby Robson and all the teams that won the European Cups and league titles and all that sort of stuff. It's a lovely ground to work at. Really,
I like where you come out. I like the tunnels on the corners.
Yeah,
you walk out and you can see the whole thing, like Old Trafford.
Yeah,
fantastic. You see all the stands.
Exactly. There's a charm to it. It's an old school type of ground, and it's not it's not been refurbed. And I love the Uniball Mackerel Reebok to bits, but it's a modern ground. So there's a different feel to it. But yeah, Portman Road's an interesting place. I'll tell you another thing about Portman Road. In the press box, they've got these little lights that like turn towards you, and they are red hot. I have given myself burns on them.
That's what you need sometimes, isn't it, at them grounds. Bloody freezing. Oh. And it's miles away as well. It's just horrible. It's just horrible.
Right, okay. Well, that's enough talk about Ipswich. Let's talk about David Wheater. Before I let you go, I mean, the Bolton fans would kill me if I didn't ask you a couple of questions.
Go on.
So let's just, first of all, let's have an update. We've not got a club at the moment. Where are you up to? We've read a bit about Darlington. Was there anything in that?
Yeah, but I've spoken to the manager, but I've just got a little niggly back injury I want sorting out. Because I want to play a few more years. So I want just this little disc problem sorting out.
Mm.
So I think January time I'll be ready. But I've not really been looking. I've just been enjoying my time at home with the family. After last year, it was a nightmare, really. All the going on. So I've just been happy being at home, back in Middlesbrough with the family. So yeah, I just need this little back problem sorting out, which I didn't get by lifting the dog, despite what
other people might say.
Despite what statements came out,
yeah,
official statements. I mean, I did it at Leeds away when I slipped my disc, and I've just been playing for like about 8 years with taking painkillers and all that every day. And
I remember you doing it. I remember you pulling out in the warm up.
Oh, the warm up. Yeah, but I played seven minutes, didn't I? Because we were going to be for the next day. That's when. Spearing got paparazzi, didn't he? Or had a picture of someone and I got out of it. But
oh God, that seems like a million years ago. That now,
Unbelievable.
I know, it was. Well, it came up on my Instagram the other day. It was 7 or 8 years to the day the other day. So,
Jesus. Well, yeah.
But yeah, I thought, well, I'm not playing football. I've always been offered the operation, but I said I'm not missing. I'll try not to miss any time of football. And it's only like 3 or 4 months you'll be out, so hopefully I want to get it done now. Hopefully be back for January and, yeah, play football again.
Good stuff. Do you reckon you'll look up that way and you know, the Darlington's northeast,
well,
that
yeah,
kind
that's,
of
that's
area,
perfect. I mean, yeah. Obviously it's not for the money anymore. I just want to be happy playing football. Darlington's perfect. I know the manager. I was at Doncaster with him on loan.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes down the road and I'll be playing football and that's all I want to do, really.
You played there earlier in your career as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
You got loan there, yeah.
I went on loan there, played maybe 10, 15 games or something. So, yeah, it was. But that was when it was at the stadium.
The George Reynolds Arena, I remember it.
Oh, yeah, we went past that the other day and it's just. It's just mad. I think it's like 20,000 or something, but they could only ever get 5 or 6 in because of where it is.
Mm.
Like on like a motorway sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I remember going there one time when I was covering Bury and they had these escalators going up to the kind of the press box.
Yeah, nice, isn't it?
And the old gent says, listen, we've just had this screen installed. It's bigger than Highbury's. And that tells you how long ago it was, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's bigger than Highbury's. They had this bloody TV screen. It was massive. It was bigger than the pitch, I think, in the corner of the ground. And there's 2,000 or 3,000 fans in there. It was absolute madness.
Yeah, well, it was character anyway, wasn't he, George Reynolds?
Another legal precedent here on the podcast. I neither confirm nor deny any of the statements Mr. Weeter has just made.
Yeah, he's a character.
I'm sure he's a character.
Good or bad character, there. So.
So the other thing I'd have to ask you about now. We're not going to get into the minutiae of the Oldham stay because that really is something that does deserve its own kind of podcast.
Oh,
but
God.
You've probably seen some of the clips that have been going on the last couple of weekends. The fans have obviously made it very clear that they're not happy at all.
Yeah,
been out on the pitch. They've been stopping the games. It's getting to the stage where something's got to give there now at the moment. So do you have sympathy for where they're at the minute?
Well, I'd be on the pitch with them if I was there. But just for what happened to me, and that was, what did I have? Maybe like a season. So they're fans who love the club and that. So they've had longer than me there. So, I mean, what else can they do? I mean, I was on that bloody talk spot with, what's he called, Simon Jordan, talking rubbish.
And yeah.
I just said, what do you want them to do? They're getting exposure for... And it's worked as well. They have got exposure for it. It was the same thing with us when we went on strike that time.
Mm.
No one was really asked before, apart from obviously like you local guys. Mm. See, when you go on strike, it got national exposure.
You get boxed into a corner a little bit. I mean, the Bolton thing is one thing. I mean, at the moment, the fans seem to want to talk to him and try and explain their feelings. From having dealt with the ownership there at Oldham, do you think it'll get them anywhere?
No, I don't. I mean, what time are we on now? I think he's in 2 minutes after, and I think he's on TalkSport with a pre-recorded interview.
All right.
Which is not going to help anyone, is it?
No. No.
I don't think he'll never do a live questionnaire or meet with the fans. I don't think he just won't. Or there'll be his lawyer there or something.
Yeah, well, you want to see a happy ending to it, don't you? Because, I mean, you know, Bolton, you don't want to see another Bury, because for all the local rivalries and all that sort of thing, you don't want it to really be the wheels fall completely off there.
No, that's what you want, them local rivalries. That's like the other day when I was having a bit of Twitter banter with the Wigan fans. I mean, a couple messaged me after saying, oh, it's all in good fun. I said, yeah, of course it is. And like you say, where... Someone asked us, do you want us to get relegated or that? I said, no, get promoted with Bolton, play each other in the championship and stuff like that. That's what you need, isn't it? All these local derbies.
Hey, I tipped them to go up as well, Wigan, by the way.
Yeah, the betting. I mean, a couple of my mates play there. That John Jones, I messaged him, I said, I'm not liking your picture on Instagram, but I'm happy for your move.
With you footballers, like it's like an interweb. You move that regularly that you can't afford to have like that sort of rivalry, can you? Or rarely. I mean, I'm yet to see a day where I see you in a Sunderland shirt or something, but you know, that wouldn't happen.
It depends what they offer me. I might have to go to Wigan and Sunderland, mightn't I? If they offer enough.
You never know. I've heard they're offering quite a bit, Wigan.
Yeah, so am I. I've heard that as well. Flipping, eh? Yeah, I know.
Right, okay, well, that is actually where we're going to leave it this week. That's all we've got time for, and I'd say thank you very much, Wits, because it has been it's been a laugh. I said that the very top that this could go very badly or very well, and I think it's gone quite well.
It was never going to go badly, was it?
Well, I wasn't sure, you see, because with you lying semi-naked in bed doing a podcast, drinking Red Bull with a dodgy Wi-Fi connection, what could have gone wrong?
Nah, but that's the thing. If I want to have me Red Bull, I'm ready for the day.
Oh, happy days. There is the trick for life, ladies and gents.
I'm still lady like Kate Winslet on Titanic.
Somebody doing an oil painting.
See, that's why you needed a Zoom, so you could see me as well.
Absolutely not. That is exactly why I don't need a Zoom. Just a quick reminder, make sure you tune in to Match Day Live on Saturday. I'm at Ipswich. I'll be making that trip, and we'll be live from about noonish. I'll do the pre-match live stream as per normal. Join us again next Friday, probably with Henry, maybe not. Maybe we'll get Daniel Sturridge or Jack Wilshere next week. Don't know. We'll see
Henry's
how that goes.
Henry's getting sacked.
Henry could be, he's 50-50. I think we're going to have a board meeting later on to decide what's going on.
I'll get an Insta poll going.
Get an Insta poll going. But until that time, I have been Mark Isles.
And I have been David Wheater.
Dapo was brilliant. Liam Gordon was bright. Let's all go to Ipswich and curse Barry Knight. This has been The Buff.